It's another week. It's another time to be sad and happy simultaneously. Let's get into it. We're talking about the Suns and the Bucks NBA Finals. This is the third time the Suns have been in the finals. And I don't know how many times the Bucks have been in the finals, but the last time they won was with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar before he converted. His name was Lew Alcindor and Oscar Robertson. That's what we're going to be talking about today because I'm upset about it. And I'm also happy because, like, everyone involved would have won their first NBA title. And it just so happened to be the Bucks this time. But first, we're going to talk about this wine, Horse Heaven Hills, from Longitude 120 West. It's a Cab Sav. We're looking at 13.9% alcohol content. We're going to love it. Where is this from? Horse Hills. Eastern Washington State. Hey, on the other side of the state where I live. Cool. Well, we're just going to pour it real quick. I've already been drinking this. I already know it's good. And we're just going to finish the bottle today, because why not? Also, side note, I just want to take a second to shout out an old friend of mine, Ari Creative. She's on TikTok. She's got about 43,000 followers. She does cosplay. She loves Star Wars. She's on Twitch. Her and her friend, her and homegirl Kennedy, got a podcast called the Queen and Duchess Podcast, where they talk about Marvel, DC, Star Wars, all that sorts of stuff. If you are into that, go check out the Queen and Duchess Podcast. If you're into cosplay, check out her TikTok and Instagram at Ari Creative. I'm going to link that down below because she put way too many damn eyes in her name. I think it's like three eyes. That's two too many. But I'm going to put it down below. So go check it out because we support smaller creators out here. I know 43,000 sounds like a big number. But, you know, she's an old friend, so go on and follow her. Go and support the people who cosplay and are nerdy people. We like supporting nerds out here. Okay, so if you don't know, it's been over a week since the finals have ended. We're in Olympic season now, and the Bucks are the new NBA champions. I'm happy for Giannis, happy for Chris Middleton, more happy for Drew Holiday, because that man's gone through some shit. Like, his if you guys look at his background, it's kind of crazy. He's had some bad things happen in his life, so I'm happy that he got to be on the peak of this, peak of the NBA world for at least one season. And the crazy thing now is that, what's it, Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton and Devin Booker are on the U.S. Olympic basketball team, which they just lost to France. I mean, I get it. France, you know, they got Gobert and they got Fournier and their team. So, I mean, they have a solid squad. But anyways, this NBA Finals. It was so fun to watch. Every game. I have League Pass. So I went back and rewatched. I watched every game twice. Yeah, I watched every game twice. And then I watched the highlights for Game 6 and Game 1 several times. Because those are the two best games, in my opinion. Game 1, let's look at it this way. Why did the Bucks lose game one? Because the Suns didn't necessarily win that game. I think the Bucks lost it. I don't think the Suns should have ever been the favorite to win the finals. I love Chris Paul. And any of you guys who talk basketball with me know that Chris Paul is my number one favorite NBA player right now. Number two is LeBron James. I could make a whole top 10 list. But right now, it's been Chris Paul ever since he came into the league. And he started with New Orleans. So, game one, why did the Bucks lose? It's because Chris Middleton went 12 for 26 from the field. And, I mean, they had, what, 12 turnovers? 13 turnovers, I think? Something like that. I don't know. Their bench didn't really produce. Giannis, I mean, you can't be mad at someone who gets 20 points and somewhere around 17 rebounds. Like, he played a pretty decent game. But Chris Middleton was shooting too many times in inopportune moments. That's my takeaway. And then, not to take away from the Phoenix Suns, because Devin Booker did drop 22, Chris Paul had a game. Chris Paul at 32 points, dude. That man was balling like his life depended on it. And Jay Crowder went 0 for 8 from the field. You know what? Maybe game one. I don't think the Bucks lost game one. I think the Suns actually legitimately won that game because Jay Crowder did not play well. His defense was there. He's like, you can't knock on his defense, but he went 0 for 8 from the field, 0 for 5 from 3. He did get 9 rebounds. But, I mean, Jay Crowder is a good player. He is a great role player. I mean, you saw him last year in Miami versus the Lakers. It's just the Lakers were a better team. AD and LeBron were not losing that series. And then KCP hit some crazy clutch shots. Rondo was... I mean, his passing looked reminiscent of him on that Celtics team in 08. So there's that. So game one, Phoenix wins. Beautiful time. Love to see it. Let's look at game two. Again, the Phoenix Suns win 118. They got 118 points back-to-back games. Now this game, I think this is the one where I think Chris Middleton actually didn't play that well. Because he went 5 for 16 from the field. That's a problem. He only dropped 11 points, didn't get to the free throw line at all. Giannis somehow got to the free, shot 18 free throws, and you know went 11 for 18 from the free throw line, which for someone, for a power forward center type player, not that bad. You kind of want to see him shoot better, but I mean, he's shooting better than Ben Simmons. So there's that. And Giannis dropped 42 points. Like, you can't get mad at that performance. Because, I mean, he's the most consistent player in this playoff series. Honestly, probably the most consistent player in the entirety of the playoffs, looking back at it. And Jrue Holiday, again, 7 for 21 from the field. That's your big three. You can't be having your big three be lackluster like that. And Brook Lopez, I think Brook Lopez is just getting old. Like, I think he's only got 2, maybe 3 years left in the league. And I think this championship might cut it short. Like, he might retire next year. And then everyone who knows who watches PJ Tucker, he stays in the fucking corner and shoots threes. So he did his thing. He plays defense really well, sits in the corner and shoots threes. And then Pat Connaughton was the only person on their bench who produced. Teague wasn't doing nothing. Bryn Forbes, Bobby Portis, Elijah Bryant, like no one was doing anything on their bench. And then let's look back at the Phoenix Suns, because they got the back-to-back win. So there's a lot of pressure on them to win this series once they go up 2-0. Devin Booker drops 31 points, 7 for 12 from the three-point line. Come on now. Like, how was he so locked in game two? Like, where did it all go wrong? You got DeAndre Ayton. You know, little double-double, 10-11. I would like to see him be more forceful, more impactful as a big man. You know, this is a guards league. Look at all the great wing players you got right now. When Klay Thompson comes back, he's still going to be dropping threes. Steph Curry had a record season this year. He was a scoring champion this season and didn't even play. I don't think he played as many games as Bradley Beal, who's, you know, another great shooting guard, small forward. I'd put him as shooting guard. He's a 2. Russell Westbrook's been in the game for a minute. Trae Young, Luka Doncic, upcoming talent. Ja Morant, upcoming talent. Dame Dollar Lillard, come on. Jamal Murray, Donovan Mitchell. It is a guards league right now in the NBA. There's not really many dominant bigs. Joel Embiid, Giannis, Jokic. I don't even want to put LeBron in that conversation because he plays the point. He plays the point. He might be 6'8", 6'9", but he plays point. I just miss the days where we had DeMarcus Cousins and Dwight Howard going crazy on the rims, you know? Andre Kirilenko, I remember watching him play too. Ben Wallace, like I miss seeing dominant bigs. But the league today is one of the main reasons why guards are my favorite players. But, you know, back to game two. Chris Paul, 50% from the field, 10 for 20. That's what we're looking at. 23 points, 8 assists. Come on. Only thing that you can kind of see where it starts to falter is his 6 turnovers. And I think that's when Jrue Holiday was like, I got to lock it in. Because he's the one who's mainly guarding Paul. And then we go to game three. And this was a huge turning point. You know, this is when the series goes back to Milwaukee. Well, I can't say back to Milwaukee because the first two games were in Arizona. But I think this was a turning point because it was a 20-point win and it was pretty clear that Milwaukee was winning this game in about 2 minutes into the third quarter. At least that's when I thought it was going to happen. I mean, Chris Paul was still balling, you know, 19-9. That's typical Chris Paul numbers. He's a point guard. He is not a scorer. He scores when he needs to, and I think it showed in the next games. I think he took on a personality that wasn't him. I think he should have let Booker and Ayton take care of the scoring. You got Jay Crowder, who's mostly a solid three-point shooter, and in this game, in game three, he went 6 for 7 and only shot three-pointers. Like, he was locked in. They just couldn't pull it off. Granted, you know, Scott Foster he's got some kind of vendetta, which I don't understand how Scott Foster's still in the league, because he was part of that whole referee group that were betting on NBA games while they were reffing. I don't understand how he's still qualified to be a ref, but Chris Paul, after the series, was 0-13 in the postseason with Scott Foster officiating. I think that's a red flag. Like, that's got to be a red flag for somebody. I did some research on other referees, and I didn't see anything that crazy, you know, out of the norm. You know, some people were like 5-13, 2-8, and then you had other people that were like 10-1 with someone officiating, or like 7-3. I don't know. Something about Scott Foster doesn't sit right with me. But I mean, you look at the performance of this. Devin Booker went 3 for 14, 1 for 7 from three. Like, you can't be the main scorer, the go-to scorer, and have an off night like that. But you know, I was watching the series and I'm like, maybe it was just one bad game. Cause I really did I wanted Phoenix to win. But I'm not mad that Milwaukee won. Because Giannis is such a wholesome person. Like, he makes it so hard to root against him. I was incredibly happy to see that Milwaukee beat Brooklyn, because I didn't want to see that super team win. I'm tired of super teams. And, you know, it's not that I'm tired of super teams. I'm tired of the specific players going to teams and ring chasing. I get the mindset, like, you're competing at the highest level, and it'd be such a great thing to tack on a ring on top of your legacy. Chris Paul's going in the Hall of Fame first ballot without a ring. Like, he's on the same level as AI and John Stockton, who never won rings, but they were still great overall for their career. Like, AI is one of the best shooting guards ever. John Stockton, arguably, he is a top 5 point guard of all time. Like, that Utah team got stopped because of Michael Jordan, and you can't denounce that. Phoenix got stopped this year because of Milwaukee and Giannis. Giannis is a 2-time MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, 5-time All-Defensive, 5-time All-Star, 5-time All-NBA, I believe. Maybe 4-time All-NBA, I don't know about that. But, like, it's not a bad thing to go down against Giannis. It's not a bad thing to go down against Michael Jordan, Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen. Like, those are legendary teams. Phoenix had no business being in the finals this year to begin with. Like, the Lakers were injured. They swept Denver, which is shocking because Denver barely beat Portland. Yeah, they won six. They won four games out of six. They lost two games to Portland, but the other two games, the four games that they won were all relatively close games. It's just Dame needs some help. Dame and CJ need some help. Because Nurkic, I don't think Nurkic was playing the way that he was playing 2-3 years ago. I think that injury messed him up. Because Portland's a dangerous team. And Denver still managed to beat them without Jamal Murray. I was not expecting Denver to get swept. Because Jokic is such a good playmaker. He's probably one of the best playmaking bigs in NBA history. I think he'll go down as that. He had no business getting an MVP this season, and he brought Denver further than I think anyone expected, except maybe like Denver fans who have hope in their team and faith in their team. But man, like, Denver had no business being that high seeded and taking out Portland. And the Suns swept them. And then the Suns played the Clippers. And I get it. Kawhi Leonard went down. But they won games where Kawhi was playing. So I don't understand all the hate over that series. I think that was the most legitimate series they had, because they were balling. And then you look at the East. You look what Milwaukee had to go through. Milwaukee had no business beating the Nets. Kevin Durant and his big-ass feet saved the Nets, saved the Bucks, because he was about 2 inches, maybe 1 inch away from ending Milwaukee's season. And I think Brooklyn sweeps Phoenix, especially if you get a healthy Harden, which he would have had some time to get healthy. I don't know if Kyrie would have came back in that series, but I mean, Kevin Durant versus Ayton. Ayton's not going to be able to guard someone who can shoot damn near anywhere on the field. Ayton couldn't guard Giannis. And I mean, shoot, once Giannis started just going in the paint and stopped shooting threes, it was game over. Because that's like, Giannis doesn't need to shoot threes. He needs to not shoot threes. He takes two steps in the three-point line and he's at the rim. That spin move is damn near unstoppable. I mean, I had to go back and rewatch the games and like rewind certain plays, because he shouldn't be 6'11", 7 feet, and that agile. I mean, he's almost as agile as Kevin Durant in his prime. I don't even know if Kevin Durant's not in his prime anymore, because he's still shooting like 40%, over 40% from the three, over 50% from like the field, just regular field goals, and almost 90% from the free throw line, if not over that. I think he almost had a 50-40-90 season this year. I think he's had one or two in his career, which is crazy. Like, because the most recent one I can think of, like for sure, is Steph Curry. Which is funny, because Steve Kerr also had a 50-40-90 season with the Bulls. Go figure that this person who's coaching him can also, the coach also did what the player did, or the player did what the coach also did, whichever way sounds better and more respectful. Oh man. But yeah, I mean, that was game three. The Bucks pretty much just ran him out of the building. You know, Giannis had another 40-point game, 40-13. Not a lot of turnovers. And this is where things start to get a little fishy for me, because the Bucks ended up shooting 26 free throws and the Suns only shot 16. And Giannis alone shot 17. That's where my suspicion comes up, because I was watching the games. I watched that game and I watched game six, and it just seemed, those are both the games that Scott Foster officiated. It just seemed like the foul calls weren't being called fairly, and Monty Williams in the press conference after game three knew it. He just didn't want to outright say it, because Monty Wilson is also a very wholesome person, and he's just like the type of coach that everyone wants to play for. But let's take it to game four, because this is where things really, like, this is where I feel like a lot of Phoenix Suns fan or people who were voting for Phoenix Suns to win the title felt their heart drop, because the Bucks won again. It was 109-103. Very close game. Very closely contested for the majority of the game. Man, it was just back and forth the entire time. But Jay Crowder, 3-for-9 from the three-point line. I don't know what it is about these teams that they just keep on shooting threes. Like, Chris Paul even said it, like, someone asked him in the interview, are you shocked by how many threes people in today's NBA are shooting? And he's like, he played on the Houston Rockets, the team that shattered every team-based stat for shooting three-pointers. Like, they have, like, the most three-pointers attempted, the most threes made in a game. At least they set the record. I don't know if it's been broken yet. I would need to go and check that to make sure. But like the Houston Rockets teams from like 3-4 years ago were just shooting threes, and they would live or die by the three. Something that I think the 09 Orlando Magic were doing with Dwight Howard, Hedo Turkoglu. Who else was on the team? I think Fournier was on that team. But everyone on that team, except for Dwight, was shooting threes. And then Dwight would just get a rebound and put it back up. Like, Dwight was, like, this was like prime Dwight Howard, man. And I want it back so bad. Oh, God. Dwight Howard was just such a fun player to watch. Like, he was so good on the defensive end because he was just so aggressive. And he wouldn't just block you. He would grab the ball out of the air and stare you down and lead the offense back there. You know, passed the ball off to whoever the point guard was at the time, Raymond Felton maybe, and you know, just go for an alley-oop. And the dude is already 6'10", and his vert is already like 40 inches. Like, he shouldn't be able to jump like Wilt Chamberlain, because Wilt Chamberlain was 7 foot and had a 46-inch vert, 48-inch vert, depending on which sources you're reading. Like, you shouldn't be that tall and that freak of an athlete. He was unstoppable. The only reason why Orlando lost that is because I think Van Gundy wasn't as good as a coach as everyone touted him to be. And I honestly think that Kobe, Pau Gasol, and Andrew Bynum, especially Kobe, wanted that championship a lot more. Because Derek Fisher was playing defense on every guard like it was nothing. Kobe was switching. And then when you have both Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum in the paint, that's going to be even harder for Dwight Howard to get past, because those are 2 7-footers. And they know how to play solid defense against a powerful power forward / center. But I digress. Back to the Suns Bucks finals. So the Suns, Jay Crowder, again, he's just shooting threes. Three for nine from the 3-point line, 3 for 10 overall. But he did get 3 steals and 3 blocks. Like, he was playing, again, he's playing defense. Like, he's not just an offensive threat. He's also playing really good defense. And the good thing with Monty Williams, I forget who the Suns' defensive coach is, but their defensive scheme was really freaking good. It's why they got this far. Part of the reason why they got this far. Ayton didn't show up, 3 for 9. Like, I'm not happy with that. I need him to be a big. Someone needs to screen off Giannis and just let Ayton go to work, because he can jump too. He can play strong ball. He's a young player, and I'm really hopeful for his future. Booker, he had no business shooting 28 shots in a game, but he made 17 of them. So that's like, what, a 600? That's around 600 shooting? Yeah, 60% shooting. I mean, he drops 42 points. You can't get mad at that. The thing that did upset me is that some of the fouls that were called on him were problematic. He had 5 fouls on him. Jay Crowder had 5 fouls on him. I don't think they deserved 5. 3 or 4. But, I mean, you can argue with me all day about this, because I watched the game. I watched it twice. It just didn't seem like it was fairly called. But Chris Paul, again, 5 for 13. Like, his range, his perfect range is 15 to 17 feet away from the hoop. You know, he runs off the screen, does a crossover, and he steps to the side. It hits that 90-degree corner from the free-point line. Yeah, free-throw line. And then he just banks it off the backboard or just swishes it. That's what he does. That's an iconic Chris Paul move. Everyone knows when it's going to happen. But when it's executed so perfectly, you're not going to stop it. Like, Chris Paul doesn't really get blocked a lot. If you watch tape of him, he just does this little crossover, hezzy, sidestep, and then banks it off the glass from 15 feet, 17 feet. And it works so often. Like, that's his game. And he knows it, because he knows how to dissect defenses. And I think, regardless of this loss, I think he really did play a solid series. Mikal Bridges, I want him to shoot more. I was hoping Cameron Payne, after what he did versus the Clippers when Chris Paul was out, I was hoping Cameron Payne would come back and you know, torch the secondary of Milwaukee. That didn't happen. Torrey Craig, I just, look, man, I don't know what it is about him, but I just don't like Torrey Craig's game. It's not, I mean, he fits. He's a good role player, depending on which scheme he's set in. But this series, even with LA, he had like two really solid games. I just didn't like the way that he plays in the secondary for the Suns. And then you look at Milwaukee again. Middleton, 40 points, playing like Michael Jordan for no reason. Why did he shoot 33 times? Why did he shoot 33 times and Giannis only shot 19? And then Giannis went 4 for 8 from the free throw line. Like, how? And again, look, like, I need Giannis to stop shooting threes, because he's over 2 in this game. I think he was like over 3 from last game and like 1 for 4 from game 2. And then Jrue Holiday was 4 for 20. Like, bro, what? But he's playing defense, and he's the reason why they won that game, because he stopped Chris Paul, aside from Chris Middleton's 40. let's not downplay that because he was balling. And then Brook Lopez is, you know, he had that one game against Brooklyn where he dropped almost 40 points. And he really has just been taking a seat back. I mean, I get you have Giannis on your team. Let Giannis do his thing. But Brook Lopez can also ball too. Like, he showed that, even though he's the slowest player in the NBA. Watching that man run is like watching 42-year-old Dirk Nowitzki run down the court. Like, it was not a sight to see, but somehow both those players have the ability to produce. So, yeah, game four, tied 2-2. This is just a quick synopsis. I'm not going to deep dive into any of this, even though, you know, I've gone on tangents, but that's on character for me. Can't blame me for that. I got wine in my hand. Then game five. This was the actual turning point. I said game three because it just seemed like the demeanor of the Bucks changed. I think after Giannis was yelling at his team so much, I think they kind of clicked into gear. But game five, Phoenix needed to win this. They were playing at Phoenix. Man. And it was just a heartbreaker game. Ended up being 123-119, so freaking close, but I think the Suns just blew the lead at the last moment. Because the first quarter, Phoenix played them phenomenally. Like, it was 37-21. And then, for some reason, Milwaukee just balled out in the second quarter. It was like 43. They got 43 points. I forgot how much points how many points the Suns got. But it wasn't 43. It wasn't even 30. So, you know, they had a strong first quarter, weak second quarter, didn't really play that well in the third quarter, and, like, you know, try to come back from behind in the fourth quarter. You know, that never really works against a team who's locked in. It works against the Clippers because the Clippers will get complacent. And I guess, like, the trash talking or whatever the play, the Suns were able to get under the skin emotionally. I feel like that's an aspect of the game that's not talked about enough. The emotional aspect, the fact that you can get your opponent that can get under your skin. Like, that's part of the reason why Michael Jordan and Larry Bird were amazing. Like, Larry Bird would look at the bench and be like, I'm going to score 35 points tonight. I'm going to score 40 points tonight. And then by the third quarter, he has that. And he just sits down and just lets Kevin McHale do the rest of the work. Because, like, Larry Bird is Larry Bird. But with the Bucks, this is game five. Chris Middleton, again, just locked in. Like, if Chris Middleton has a good shooting night, there's like an 80% chance the Bucks are going to win. And he went 12 for 23. Come on now. Seven rebounds, five assists. Like, he's doing okay. Four turnovers, you know, that's not really a good thing. But, I mean, you pulled it off barely, 4 points. So you have two close games within 10 points, which you like to see. That's the type of competition us NBA fans love to see. Jrue Holiday showed up, 12 for 20, crazy, 27 points. And then Giannis, 32 points. You got three people over 25 points scoring in one game. That's a lock. And Jrue Holiday had 13 assists. Like, get out of here. You're not supposed to be that good. We all saw you on New Orleans. You were good, but you weren't that good. Like, come on now. You're having Hall of Fame performances right now. Giannis, 14 for 23. I don't know. He got to the line 11 times and made 4 free throws. Like, his free throw shooting was so bad in most of these games, except for game 6. Like, people clown him for how long he takes to shoot a free throw, and I guess game 6 is the main reason why, or main reason I can see people shutting up about it, at least a little bit. You know, fans will be fans, people will be people. The critics are still going to analyze every aspect of a player's game, but 4 for 11, that's pretty atrocious. You're shooting around 350, 35%. Oh, man. And then you look at the Suns. Devin Booker again dropped 40 points. He dropped 40 points twice. Giannis dropped 40 points twice. Like, it was just a shooting. Well, Devin Booker's a shooting battle. Giannis doesn't really shoot like Booker. But, I mean, it was a scoring battle. I could say that at the very least. Ayton kind of showed up a little bit this time, 7 for 12. And he made 6 for 6 of his free throws. Ayton was actually one of the few bigs who were good at shooting free throws. Him and Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid, I think, is better. I might have to look at the stats to get it, like, completely correct. But Joel Embiid is he's just such a good all-around player. He just needs to be healthy. I think aside from Chris Paul, the other players that I want to see get a ring so badly are Joel Embiid number one, and then Damian Lillard number two. And they have loyalty to their teams, and I don't know if Philly can do it. I don't know if Ben Simmons is the answer. Ben Simmons, great on defense. Like, he's been all NBA defense the past 3-4 years and that he's been in. He was arguably the defensive player of the year this year, but of course, you know, they're going to give the DPOY award to a center, even though I think Simmons deserved it more, in my opinion. Granted, there was a case for Gobert. Like, Utah had the best defense. He leads that best defense. It's ran through him. I get it. But it's my bias towards guards. I just think Ben Simmons guards wing players and forwards better than Gobert guards, point guards, and shooting guards. Let me space it out a little bit. But that's my opinion as an NBA fan. I'm allowed to have it. Y'all allowed to have yours. What do you guys think? Do you think Gobert deserved another DPOY award, or do you think Ben Simmons deserved the Defensive Player of the Year award this year? Ben Simmons doesn't need to shoot a three-pointer, okay? DeMar DeRozan has been balling out his entire career and has been trash at shooting threes. And we all love DeMar DeRozan. I like his game. Like, the mid-range shot is lost, and he's the only one who consistently can do it at a high level, him and Chris Paul. But what Ben Simmons needs to do is needs to get better at shooting free throws so people don't hack him and aren't afraid that he's going to miss free throws, because Philly lost their series in part because Ben Simmons doesn't shoot free throws. Also, he seems a little hesitant to shoot the ball. Like, if you look at how he played Atlanta, like, Trae Young was under the hoop and Ben Simmons kicked the ball out. You can't be afraid of Trae Young. You are 6'8", 6'9". Trae Young's 6 feet on a good day. He's not going to out-jump you. Trae Young is not a super athletic player like Russell Westbrook. He's not Isaiah Thomas. Like, Isaiah Thomas and Nate Robinson, you know, they're 5'8", 5'9", 5'10", maybe. They can dunk on you. I'd be afraid of them dunking on me because they got bounce. Trae Young doesn't have bounce. Trae Young's got a shot. Trae Young's got handles and quickness. But Ben Simmons, you're 6'9 and just as quick as he, and you cover more ground. And so I don't know. I think Ben Simmons needs a little bit more confidence in his game, because he has the potential to be a good player, but he's been plateauing. Honestly, in some stats, decreasing for ever since he's came into the league. Like, I want Philly to win a ring, at least with Joel Embiid on their team. And Tobias Harris. Man, I love Tobias Harris. Like, people sleep on him, but that man used to be able to dunk on people and just outright shoot. He still can. He still has flashes. Like, he performed really pretty well in that series. But you need three to win. You need three to win a game. You need three to win a series. And you need good defense to win a series. I don't know how Atlanta pulled that off. I don't know how Atlanta pulled off winning two or three games against the Bucks. I forgot if it went to Game 7 or if it was a three games Eastern Conference Finals. But either way, like, I'm surprised Atlanta got that far. That's the one that shocked me the most. But Game 5, I think Chris Paul had 21 points and 11 assists. Devin Booker, 40 points. Mikal Bridges showed up a little bit, got 13. I just want Cameron Payne to do his thing, but he didn't. And then, you know, here's the closing game. Game 6, 105-98, another close game. Like, the last three games of this series were so exciting. But the Suns had like a 10-12-point lead going into the fourth quarter. Something like that. And they just couldn't pull it off. Like, there was just nothing that clutch that happened in the fourth quarter for them. Chris Paul, like, the will of Chris Paul is so dangerous. Every team he goes to gets better. So I don't understand why in these forums, on these Facebook posts, that people are really, like, shitting on Chris Paul. Like, OKC had no business being in the finals, in the playoffs last year, let alone go to a Game 7 in their first round series. New Orleans, Pelicans, Hornets, whichever team he was on before they switched their names. That team immediately got better his rookie season. Because who else did he have on the team? David West? Houston. immediately got better because they got a floor general. James Harden is a good point guard, don't get me wrong. But Chris Paul's IQ has been like at the top of the game, like top five players in the game since he got in the league. Like the only people who I might put over him are potentially LeBron James. Like I think they're both on equally NBA IQ and Steph Curry. Damian Lillard, like these Jokic, like those I think would be the top five brightest NBA minds right now. I almost want to put Kevin Durant up in there too, but because he really did improve his passing the past 2 or 3 years he's been playing. I'm excluding the year that he was hurt. So like when he was on Golden State, I feel like Steve Kerr, the coaching, Curry, I think they helped him become a better passer. And then just here, looking at him on the Nets, Kevin Durant just became a much better facilitator than when he was on OKC. So you like to see that. You like to see development in players. But yeah, Jokic, LeBron James, Damian Lillard, Curry, and Chris Paul are probably the smartest NBA IQ players right now from what I've seen. But game six, like Devin Booker went 0-for-7 from the three-point line. If he just made two of those, I mean, that puts the Suns at 104, then 105. And then they just not foul Giannis and get him to the line. What? How many free throws did he shoot this game? An absurd amount. 19 free throws. And he ended up making 17 of them, which I get it. You don't expect him to make 17 free throws out of 19, considering he was shooting just under 700 the previous five games. Collectively, I think it might have been lower than 600, to be honest. And then Chris Paul played. Like, Chris Paul was balling. Scott Foster officiating. Ayton Paul had five fouls. Booker and Mikal Bridges had four. Jay Crowder had three. No one on the bench fouled at all. That's a little suspicious to me. Again, this is not to downplay the Bucks' achievement, because in a closeout game, in a freaking closeout game for the Bucks, Giannis dropped 15 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 blocks. That is Shaquille O'Neal-esque. That is Wilt Chamberlain-esque. Like, that's crazy. Giannis, this finals puts him up there with not overall, just for like finals performances. So for finals performances, this puts him up there with Wilt Chamberlain and Shaq. Cause that's a crazy closeout game stat. He had three 40-point games, a 50-point game, he had a 20-point game, 30s, two 40s, and a 50. I'm missing one. I'm missing one game. So what, 20, two 30s, two 40s, and a 50? Something like that. I don't know. He had a crazy scoring stat for this finals. I think he averaged like 36, 35 points, which is like on the same level as LeBron back when he was on Miami. Like, Giannis was balling. He was the most consistent player in this finals in the playoffs. So he deserves this ring. And then you got, like, Jrue Holiday shot terrible. 4-for-19. P.J. Tucker only shot once, which is weird, because he played 36 minutes. Chris Middleton shot, pretty good for Chris Middleton. 6-for-13, that's 46, that's 46% from the field. Quick maths. He dropped 17. Lopez dropped 10. The bench didn't do anything. I don't know why everyone's talking about Bobby Portis going crazy. Like, on the bench, he's 6-for-10, 16 points in 22 minutes. Yeah, that's good. He wasn't playing like that for the entire series. It was just one game. And yes, he did lead the comeback, I would say, with Giannis. But Bobby Portis is okay. He's not Superman. He's okay. He did great. He played well in the closeout game. And Giannis, again, 15, 14, and 5. Chris Paul can't put up 50 points. I think the most he's ever gotten in the postseason is like 44. And honestly, I don't know if he did that on purpose. Like, I think he was just shooting, went unconscious, and just started just blasting up shots because he had a hot hand. But yeah, like, it was that closeout game hurt my soul because they had the lead. They had it. All they had to do was do some time management, which is what Chris Paul did, and Monty Williams did. Like, I don't, people need to look at the coach too. Like, people always shit on the players, but they never shit on the coach. Well, they do when it's like a really, really bad coach. Like the coaches of New Orleans or the historic coaches of Orlando, you know, the franchises that really don't win a lot. But, man, Monty Williams was so good. Chris Paul was so good. Like, 26 points, 57% shooting, 58% shooting. Can't get mad at that. And he's 36. He's 36. Oh man, the Suns had no business being in this finals, and they pushed the Bucks. The last three games were so close. 109 to 103, 123 to 119, 105 to 98, all within 10 points. Like, you can't get upset at that. You can't. And it's like Jason Kidd won a ring when later in his career. I think Chris Paul, I think his window's obviously closing. I think Chris Paul, I don't know if he's going to play until he's 40. I could see him 39, depending on which team he goes to and how well his mental health is. I would love to see him team up with LeBron James because they're buddies. They're friends. So I would love to see that happen because I think that the chemistry is already there. Chris Paul works in any system. He is just such a malleable point guard. And he's top five. He's top five right now for point guards all time. Talking about legacy. Because let's look at the top five that a lot of people say. Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, John Stockton, Oscar Robertson. And, you know, take your pick between Jason Kidd and Steve Nash. I think Chris Paul's better than Kidd and Nash at this point. Might be a controversial opinion, but I think he is. I think he's better than Oscar Robertson at this point. I think the only two hurdles he has to pass are John Stockton and Magic. And I think if Chris Paul is in like a centerpiece of a championship winning ring, I think he'll be better than Stockton. That's a bold claim. But if he doesn't get that ring and isn't like a centerpiece of the ring, like he didn't Gary Payton it. Gary Payton went to Miami with Dwayne Wade, Alonzo Mourning, and Shaq when they won that ring in 06 against the Mavs. If Chris Paul goes to a team and is influential to winning a ring, I think he'll be better than Stockton. That's a big take. I don't know if he can overcome that hurdle. Because Stockton, oh my God, I don't get it. Stockton got banged up every game. And he would, like, he was a tough dude. He was a skinny little dude, but he was tough. And his vision was crazy. His IQ was out the roof. And then his defense, like, he was hustling. Like, there's a reason why he's the number one leader in assists all time and number one leader in steals all time. Dude could do it on both sides of the floor. And he would take 10 shots a game and make 8 of them. And then he was over 94% shooting from the free throw line. Like, what? How? How are you going to beat that? Unless you're Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Dennis Rodman, because that's the only way. That's the only way. Because you put Jordan and Pippen on Stockton, you just switch them off. Because Jordan and Pippen are, like, you know, legendary defenders. Jordan has a Defensive Player of the Year award. Pippen could have easily gotten it if Jordan didn't exist in the league, because Pippen was just as good as Jordan, in my opinion. I mean, look at the two seasons that Jordan retired, and Pippen still brought the Bulls to the final. Oh, not the finals, but he brought them to the playoffs, and he led them in every statistical category when Michael Jordan wasn't there. Like, case in point, the stats are there. The tape is there. The footage is there. You can go watch it. But yeah, I think Chris Paul is number three all time in terms of point guards. And hypothetically speaking, I think he could pass John Stockton. But that's all I have for you guys today. Sorry for this lengthy sports talk. I'm just really passionate about basketball. Like I said, I watched the series twice. Basketball is my bread and butter. I love the sport. Always will love the sport. I don't know how I could ever hate it. But now I guess I got to go watch the Olympics and watch Team USA men's and women's basketball go up there and do their thing. Because this is Sue Bird's. I don't know if you guys watched WNBA, but this is Sue Bird's last Olympic endeavor, Olympic bout. I think she's got 4 gold medals. Like, homegirl's been in the Olympics and she just keeps winning. But that's all I have for you guys. So I'm drinking Horse Heaven Hills by Longitude 120 West from Eastern Washington State. It's a Cab Sav. It's red. It's dry. It's delicious. And don't forget to check out Ari Creative on TikTok, Twitch, Instagram, if you like watching cosplay, and if you like listening to podcasts about nerdy things, Marvel, DC, Star Wars, etc., check out the Queen and Duchess podcasts on anywhere podcasts are available. But yeah, again, comment, talk to me about basketball. I would love to have a conversation, a dialogue with y'all. But with that, hope you guys are staying safe. Hopefully, things are cooling down where you're at. Drink wine, and I hope you guys have a good day. Oh, and stay hydrated. Always stay hydrated. And have a good day.